afternoon teaching time has been focusing on the book by David Murray, The Happy Christian. And I was in the middle of the chapter on Happy Church, to use the mathematical symbol that he does. It's Christ is greater than Christians equals positive. So Christ is greater than Christians. The focus that Murray has drawn our attention to has been that the church is full of hypocrites, and that hypocrisy can be very discouraging. It can be something that really is can drag down the attitude of individuals, just the whole attitude and culture of a church can be dragged down, especially if there is a focus on that hypocrisy. So we began last week by looking at what the Bible says about hypocrisy. We found that that God condemns hypocrisy. He knows it and condemns it. And yet he is also gracious, and he saves sinners. And he knows that there is no perfect sinner in this, excuse me, no perfect believer in this life. Yeah, perfect sinner, that would be a nightmare. There's no perfect believer in this life. He's gracious and saves us mercifully even so. And we began to look at some Christ-centered solutions for as we live together as believers who are redeemed and yet not yet sanctified and glorified, that the first solution is to try to see Christ in your brothers and sisters. Even in the least of these, they are belonging to Christ, and so looking for that. And there's some things that grow out of that then, as you see Christ in your brothers and sisters. One very practical application for this is to pray for them. And to pray for them as brothers and sisters, don't pray like the Pharisee prayed in the parable that Jesus gave. How did the Pharisee pray, especially, I'll let you say, how did the Pharisee pray?
God, I thank you that you did not make me like others.
Especially that one over there. Yeah. So don't pray like the Pharisee. Instead, pray for them as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow pilgrims on the path that you are on. Every once in a while, Murray says things in a very memorable way, and he talks about the tendency to focus on the hypocrite, or to focus on the individual, and just kind of gripe about that. And he says, although there can be strange short-term satisfaction in these sadistic pleasures, we actually inflict deep long-term trauma on ourselves by doing so. Both halves of that sentence I thought were good, that there's something strangely satisfying in the short term when we focus on other people's failings and ill doings, and especially when they stumble and fall. We take some type of morbid pleasure when that happens, and we're focused on the wrong thing. And it's sadistic. It really is. It is a hateful and hurtful pleasure. But we actually inflict deep, long-term trauma on ourselves. So, what is the trauma that is inflicted on you when you take satisfaction in dwelling on other people's problems and their hypocrisy?
Like every day you're striving to be more. Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
It hardens the heart.
Mm-hmm. We become hard and calloused in our heart towards the mercies of God towards us because we are treating our brother and sister with a terribly hard heart.
Yeah, I think kind of like along that line, Noah's been preaching through the book of Jonah, which is all about this. And I think as you see Jonah, you know, doing his best to withhold grace from the Ninevites, you really see he's just withholding it from himself. And suddenly his, you know, God's love upon him, it's no longer about God's mercy and Jonah's unworthiness. It's now about, you know, Jonah's worthiness. And suddenly God's grace isn't in the equation. And you see that kind of his destruction in the end. And you know, you look at that example and you really see yourself in that as well, where it's like, well, I'd be happy to, you know, extend grace and extend the gospel to these people over here. But those people over there, they really don't deserve that. And they make me uncomfortable. And, you know, or whatever the case may be.
You know, people keep on making a mistake about mercy and all that stuff, and they made it even in, I noticed in the VeggieTales Jonah movie, they kind of made the same mistake. You know, either people think certain people don't deserve, say, oh, that person doesn't deserve a second chance, and VeggieTales movie, Jonah movie says everyone deserves a second chance. It's like, no one deserves a second chance, and that's why, otherwise they wouldn't need one.
Yeah. You're all doing really good. You're ticking off different points here that Murray makes. They're all on your own. You're doing a great job. I'll add to that just in a very vivid way. The author of Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness growing up in us. That root of bitterness, that's Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It's in the midst of a whole conversation where the author is talking about pursuing peace with one another. When you focus on the failings of your brothers and sisters, you're not pursuing peace. You're pursuing the mutual destruction of one another. So that root of bitterness grows and it bears very destructive fruit. So prayer brings you before the throne of grace. It identifies Christ in them, and it prays for them, but it also shapes you, and it helps you to root out any sharp critical spirit, any judgmentalness, any bitterness that could grow up and defile many. Here are a few others that you've mentioned some of these, I'll go fairly quickly on some of them and elaborate on a couple of others. Spend time with those who are inconsistent or hypocritical. It's really quite easier to criticize and be discouraged when you're not very close to someone. The closer you pull to someone, the closer you draw to someone, the more you understand their context and their situation. So spend time with them. Be patient. There's a phrase that's another author that I've enjoyed uses, that he says to remember the tedious process of learning. Baby Christians are babies, by the way. They are not mature in every aspect of their lives. It takes time. It takes It takes attention, it takes nurture to grow, and oftentimes hypocrisy is a function of immaturity, maybe more than it is for someone who is just kind of consciously acting opposite to the way they speak. Speak positively about other Christians. Ephesians 4 has lots of direction about how you use your language, how you use your words. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but what is suitable for edification. That's the instruction that Paul gives in this context. And it's very appropriate as you are trying to shape your heart in the midst of a difficult circumstance, that if you're constantly harping on the hypocrisy or constantly harping on the failings of other people, it will just continue to plant the seeds of sourness and bitterness in your heart towards that individual and take your focus away from Christ. One other thing that I've enjoyed about Murray is that he weaves in not just the wisdom of God's Word, but he's done study and done research in other areas. He cites a very interesting sociological study. If you have this volume, you can look at it on page 72. He says that happy people rejoice in others' success and are concerned for their failures. And this is a study that found this. And the study also found that unhappy people are deflated in other people's success and rejoice when they fail. And that there's some correlation there between your interaction with others and your opinion of others' successes and failures, and then your own happiness. I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg, or maybe it's a cycle that feeds each one. That if you're happy in Christ in general, then that you will take joy and success and other successes, and that feeds this mentality. But the world, the non-Christian world, acknowledges that something's going on here. Choose out just one other here, two others here. Murray talks about seeing your own faults in others. And this is a little bit of a double-edged sword, I found. It's double-edged in that when you have labored to work through a sin that's particularly a sin in others, that can have one of two results. One is that you just cannot stand seeing it in anybody else, and you can become particularly very harsh about it. Or there's the other side of becoming kind of uncaring about it because you've known the trouble that it's caused you, and so you're lazy, in a sense, towards others by that. So the tendency, especially to be harsh with others with the same sins that you have, can be very damaging, and it's just a common tendency that I've observed. And then finally, the major point that comes out of this chapter is that this is an opportunity for Christ to be magnified. It begins with you, as you note, that Christ has maybe saved you from a particular sin or delivered you from hypocrisy in certain areas. Seeing Christ at work in you and the forgiveness that you have received, then works a gentleness or a patience with others. But it's also an opportunity for you to see Christ at work in them. It's a reminder that we aren't saved by our perfection or our abilities. It's an opportunity for you to say, yes, my brothers and sisters and I am not perfect, but Christ is. And praise God that He is. And as we follow after Him, we pray that we would grow in this area. Murray has several other points that you can follow, but I've chosen out several to develop a little more fully here this afternoon than Murray does. Any other questions or comments that you'd make on that?
You mentioned how there can be a tendency to be especially harsh with others on sins that you're very aware of in your own life. And I think on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's also a tendency to gravitate towards people who make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Certain sins and validate and help justify, whether even if it's subtle hypocrisy or pride or things like that. And so I think there's two sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen both tendencies arise.
We don't want someone to point out our errors, but we'll be quick to point them out in others, and we don't like that when it happens to us, and so there's a good point there to, and our prayers for others and our interactions with others, to be conscious of that tendency to harshness, and to know yourself, to guard your own self from either being harsh towards others that way or even gravitating towards those that will placate your spirit. Very good. I'll invite you to bow in prayer as we close today. Lord, we are reminded that there is an enemy in the world, that Satan is alive, is like a lion who is seeking to tear and rend believers and to bring destruction and distraction to the church. We praise you, God, that he is bound and is unable to accomplish his ultimate aims. And yet, Lord, we also acknowledge that there is much pain and much hurt that the enemy sows in our midst, and that we are party to that when we focus just on the failings of each other. Instead, O Lord, I pray that you would lift our eyes to Christ, that we would focus on the author and finisher of our faith, and then that we would also be an encouragement to our fellow pilgrims around us. Lord, we do sin in big and small ways. We fail each other, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be an encouragement in our walk heavenward following Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make sure you're dismissed.